like, just so like I understand, and maybe I'll figure it out right away, but do you think evolution is true or not?
You're asking me a question before I ask a question. Interesting.
I just want to understand, like, because like sometimes I don't know where people are going when they ask questions.
Sure. I just wanted to ask if you actually could change your mind, or is it such a fact rooted for you that you can't change your mind because it's like as true as gravity or as true as I have a hand?
Oh yeah, I mean I think evolution is as true as the Earth orbits the sun and the Earth is a globe, but that's just because of how strong the evidence is. I've read a lot about it. And so, I mean, I would say for that reason, not because like I'm stubborn or because my life would be ruined if it weren't true or something like that.
Yeah, sure. Okay. No, that, because it's hard for me to think about trying to change someone's mind if they think it's as like factual and as true as anything. So I can't change your mind, but okay. I'll let you know what I believe. I believe that, have evolved, or evolution is true to a point, but I think with humans we are actually some kind of genetic creation by some unknown force, be it alien, be it something else, I don't know, but human beings are so odd compared to the rest of the animal kingdom.
So I think that that's kind of true and kind of not true at the same time. So do you think that life's been on the planet for billions of years?
From what I understand, yeah, I kind of okay. completely believe regular evolution. Sure. I just think humans are odd. So yes, I believe as a species, yeah.
So since you like believe that, you know, humans are I was going to say the product of evolution, but maybe you think there's actually a little bit of a caveat to that. But like if humans go back, the whole thing about us being special or unique or odd or whatever. Well, kind of, yeah, but at one point we weren't. So a few hundred thousand years ago, we coexisted with many other species of human. Us, Neanderthals, Homo erectus, Homo floresiensis, and several others were actually around at the same time, and we really weren't that much different than them. Sure. Back then, the different, like if you would have been an alien and you visited Earth 300,000 years ago or whatever, you would have gone around, you'd have seen all this stuff, and you would have seen the humans, the Homo sapiens humans, the Neanderthals, and a few others, and you would have said, well, I mean, those are definitely unique. They use tools. They all use a form of language. They're obviously the most intelligent. But if you had to predict, only one of them is going to survive in the long term, and if you were going to like ask those aliens, do you think any of these things right now has the capacity to become what you have become? Because like we're on our way to being like what an alien that would be capable of visiting another planet is. I actually don't, if they would have guessed yes, I actually don't see what they would have seen in us that they wouldn't have also seen in at least one of the others. So like, I agree with you, but the thing that made us really unique and whatever was a really minute difference that just sort of collected over huge amounts of time, because that's something that we're definitely unique in, the way we have culture and language, and then we pass on information generation after generation. But no, I mean, we were a bunch of hairy assed cavemen 300,000 years ago that didn't really do anything all that more impressive than the other, you know, human apes.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Why were we special if we were to look at the frame? Back then, we're about as equal as all the others. But I kind of think that they were the failed experiments of, like, kind of what we were trying to become. It's just, we're so different. And I don't mean compared to like a chimp, even compared to like Neanderthals, or I can't remember what other Homo-like creatures were around then. I'm not using Homo in that term. We're around, but we certainly seem real different. And I just want to say to everyone in the chat who keeps saying like, I think that we're like a God creation thing. I don't think we're created by a God. I don't believe in that. Just want to put that out there.
Yeah. So I just, I don't know what you see in us that's remarkably different from Neanderthals. Obviously us today versus them in the past. Yes. But you'd have to compare us to them when they were still around, and they died about 40,000 years ago. Humans didn't have writing or agriculture or anything like that 40,000 years ago. So I actually don't see, we were obviously different, but I don't see what you could have seen back then that would have predicted what you see today. And then as far as like evidence that we were like our genome was manipulated or whatever, I mean, if that were the case, so you can look at DNA in organisms and you can look for what are called orphan genes. So orphan genes are genes that an organism has that it didn't get from its ancestors in the past. And these do happen, because what can happen sometimes, we know of many examples of them, part of your DNA, because only like 1 or 2% of your DNA is genes. The rest of it is other stuff. So
sure.
There's this huge chunk of your DNA that isn't genes. Parts of that can mutate, and then it turns into genome or a protein sequencing segments of DNA, or in other words, genes. So if we were messed with by aliens, then what I would expect to see is huge numbers of orphan genes, because they'd be like, well, look, I want the humans to have the ability to do X, Y, and Z, so I'm going to manipulate and create like these new genes. Well, you would see that if you compared us in Neanderthals, and you don't see that. Now, you could make the argument that, well, but they just took the pre-existing stuff and tweaked it. And at that point, it's kind of tricky at that point, because maybe somebody knows, I don't know at least, but I don't know how you would tell the difference between it naturally mutated and we just have better variations of genes that they do, and it was deliberately manipulated. I don't know, because it's not like the nanotechnology is still attached in our DNA or anything like that, so you can't actually see the hallmark of that. So I don't know what you actually could point to.
Sure. I guess
as far as evidence to confirm it.
Inference, I guess. I mean, sure. Obviously I have no evidence. It's just like a off the cuff hypothesis. It's like I guess it's a gut feeling that I have, because us and also Neanderthals and other homos at the time, we all just in my mind, we feel so different to the rest of the animal kingdom. And that's what drives it for me, I guess.
Yeah,
again, I think this is where like a lot of religious fervor comes into it for other people, because they see that we're different, will feel that we're different, and they just add God to that. I'm not adding God, I'm adding space aliens. So maybe not exactly space aliens, so I'm probably like still as crazy as them.
So what I would say, I've already said this a few times, but when you keep talking about how different we are, in order to make it a fair comparison, you have to compare like to like. So you can't compare us now to cavemen 100,000 years ago, because we were cavemen 100,000 years ago too. You have to compare us back then to them at the time too. Sure. But the other thing would be then, like, you're just making an inference. Like, I don't see a naturalistic cause that could have got us to the point where we have the SR-71 Blackbird and we twerk and do all this other stuff, right? It's like, well,
yeah.
Well, let's try to figure out if there is a natural pathway to that. Because even if we fail, at least you have a pretty good reason for your outlandish hypothesis, right? To cling to it still. And this is all kind of newer stuff to me. I did start doing some research into human intelligence. And I actually have found some stuff that I think the naturalistic mechanism, which is just kind of default, should be the preferable one, I think, how it got there. So actually, I have a new book that's coming out soon. Hopefully in just a couple weeks, actually. So let me just share you something in the research in there. Getting while a sneak you do that, peek.
I just want to say your chat is like 50%. Like on your side, and the other 50 think you're an idiot. I don't know why your chat's like that.
If the internet were a place, it would be like, you know, the worst place. So I just don't. Sure. I try not to pay attention to them. So there's this gene that we have, and it's called TKTL1. And we're not the only ones that have it. Like the other apes have it too.
Oh, okay.
But we have a really minor mutation in it. It's a single substitution, a single amino acid substitution. But that one little substitution in that single gene causes nervous tissue to grow way more dense, right? This gene is particularly influential in generating neurons in the neocortex where higher level cognition occurs. Yeah. So we can take, we can now create what are called organoids, which are sort of like 3D mini organs. It's like in a petri dish, you can take the tissue that grows an organ and you can let it grow by itself. So it creates like a miniature organ. It's not like fully functional by any means, but it's at least at the cellular and the tissue level functional, and it's of whatever species you want. So we can take human brain tissue and grow it in a petri dish, and then we can take human brain tissue. Now we all have that gene. So what you can do is you can compare normal human brain tissue to brain tissue with the variation of that gene that the other great apes and humanoid apes or whatever had that we don't have, because we can change it through gene manipulation now. And what we see is that it doesn't grow when you revert it back to the older version or whatever. It doesn't grow with as much neural density. And
oh, it's like old firmware or software or something?
That's kind of a cool way of thinking about it in a way. So we see that kind of thing. There's some other stuff too. Basically, if you want to understand why an organism is the way it is, you have to understand what selective pressures shaped it. And so for us, it's our sociability, and our huge brains didn't actually evolve to do like mathematics or language or anything like that. We can do that stuff now because of them, but they originally evolved for social intelligence.
I guess like more primitive versions of Homo species had like quite large brains and didn't really do much with them, I suppose.
Yeah, they did stuff that a lot of other organisms can't do. They couldn't do it to the level we can do it, but there's some good literature out there about social intelligence and how that maps with general intelligence and cognition, and how that would have been that's sufficient to explain how our brains got to the size they are. Yeah, what's your question?
Okay, cool. So when you were talking about the brains in the petri dish, and you can upgrade I don't want to say a lesser brain, but like a different brain, a different ape brain, is that kind of what you were saying? And you can downgrade another.
So what we do is we take human brain tissue and we can watch how it grows. We have the mutated version of that gene, TKTL1 or whatever it is. We take I could read the study, I don't remember off the top of my head. They either take human tissue and change it so it has the older version of that gene, or they take like chimp tissue and they give it the updated version of the gene, and they see that it grows differently.
I don't mean to go full Joe Rogan on you, but how cool would it be if you got a chimp and gave it the updated like firmware just to see what that chimp was like?
Well, there's a movie about that,
like sign language and stuff.
There's a movie about that, actually. It's called Planet of the Apes, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes in it. It actually doesn't go well.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's a very good point.
Yeah, I guess I don't. I guess I didn't specify in my writing the way they do the comparison, but I do have the source. The guy's name is Pinson. Pinson et al. Human TK-TL1 implies greater neurogenesis and frontal neocortex of modern humans than Neanderthals. So yeah, Neanderthals didn't. So we may be like the only ones that ever had this version of it. So it's not just that, you know, the chimps and whatever, they have the gene, to be clear. They have the same gene. We just have the mutated version of it.
Well, you know what? I'm going to go do some more reading. You know what? Maybe my idea isn't as concrete as I thought.
Yeah, it's sort of, it's just like...
just that intuition.
Yeah, does the a natural hypothesis, a less... does a hypothesis that would make not as good of a movie explain it better? That's kind of, for me, I'm like, let's go there first, because naturalism in science has kind of the best track record of figuring things out. So let's see if it's if it can work for this case. And if not, then let's open the door.
So maybe that's why. Maybe my creative brain was taking over my logical one there. I was trying to write Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, maybe. Too bad it's been done before.
Yeah, goddamn those people in the 60s or whatever. Well, thank you, man. I am a bit of a fan, so thank you very much. And I'm buying your book, Facts That Aren't True. So
thank you.
Plug that for you, man.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you for your time, man.
Yep, later.
I'm just saying, if humans came from monkeys, why are there still monkeys? You can't have an atmosphere next to a vacuum. The Big Bang violates the second law of thermodynamics. Everything that's created requires a creator. Show me curvature. There are no missing links. Evolution has never been observed. The Earth is only 6,000 years old.
So I might have bad service.
Okie doke.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Okay, cool. Well, I am a young Earth creationist, but I do think that there is an argument for both a young Earth and an old Earth. Call me crazy. But a lot of that hinges upon the speed of light being constant. And I think there is some evidence out there that the speed of light is slowing down. Fascinating subject. Call me a conspiracy theorist. But ever since Olaf Rohmer started the measuring speed of light using Jupiter and its moon Io in 1677 to Barry Setterfield and Trevor Norman, physicist and mathematician, years later, even Harvard did some research that every time they've done the measurements of the speed of light, the previous generation, using the same method, the same way. So even though the technology has been the same, they've used the same method of measuring the speed of light. It's been slower, matter of fact, never been the same, never faster, but always slower. So if you use Einstein's theory of relativity, the biblical account that the world was created 6,000 years ago could be true based on the fact that the speed of light was going much, much faster. And it also is true that the Earth is 4.3 billion years based on our relationship to time. So fascinating little subject. What do you think?
I've never heard this thing about every time we measure the speed of light, we keep getting slower answers. I did a quick AI ask, and it says
no. Oh, yeah,
it says
hard
no.
To get it. I know. It's not going to come up in AI. You want me to send you some articles?
You could email them to me at planetpetersonscience@gmail.com if you want to. But so I have looked into the speed of light may have been faster in the past thing, but
okay,
so that doesn't actually get us any. All that would do was be able to tell us why we can see for billions of light years, even though the universe is only thousands of years old. It doesn't really explain anything else. It's really devastating. It really blows up anything else we would claim to know about, like, cosmology for really specific reasons. So, oh shit.
Yeah.
Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you hear me? It doesn't harmonize like evolution. Like, I don't believe in evolution, but it does harmonize red light shifts and why we can see for billions of years and a lot of wonky things that go into like carbon dating and things of all that nature, or argon-argon dating, helium decay rates and zircon crystals. It would give a very sufficient answer there. But here's the problem. You'd have to say that the speed of light was 99.9% faster in Genesis 1 and 2 before the fall. Matter of fact, Alan Montgomery, he was a statistician. He did some calculations way back in the day that the speed of light would have to be 99.9% faster pre-fall. And then after the fall, to the onset of sin, and I guess the law of entropy or something, we don't really know why, but the speed of light started to slow down. And I'm just saying, hey, all your viewers out there, you know, great science always happens on breaking stereotypes of what we know. E equals MC squared. We think that the speed of light is constant. Yes, nothing in our universe goes faster than the speed of light. So it is a very useful equation. Obviously, everything's built on that. But right. If it really is slowing down, that would be some fun science to look into.
Yeah, so I don't have anything on. Again, I did the quick AI search just to see if there was something there, and there wasn't anything there.
Your email
there.
Is but Planet again, Peterson. Can you say it again? What's your email? I'll send you some stuff.
PlanetPetersonScience@gmail.com. But even if the speed of light was faster in the past, so the only reason we're saying this is because we can see for billions of light years, which is otherwise impossible if the whole universe is only 6,000 mm-hmm. years old, correct?
Correct.
So,
and it's a harmonization between the biblical narrative and what we see today, yes.
Well, it's not really a you can call it a harmonization, but it's literally just an appeal to a miracle. Like, it's one of these things where it's as if the apologists are kind of sort of trying to sound scientific, but in the end, they're just like, well, look, the only way this is actually possible is if God miraculously does it. And there can't possibly be any evidence of that. It's just what you say to make it so that it, like, the harmony is forced. It's not in evidence at all.
Well, I'm saying that there is evidence. I know, again, people would dispute if it's evidence or not. Look into Barry Setterfield's, he's a physicist, look into his research out of Australia. Trevor Norman, he's a mathematician. Harvard has done actually some research in 1875 that confirmed some similar research, peer-reviewed stuff. National Bureau of Standards in 1928 was the national journal published similar results that the speed of light is slowing down. So there's a lot of literature out there that, yes, it's in the minority, but I'm just saying, hey, there is actual peer-reviewed evidence to the contrary that once was, the speed of light was once 1,000 kilometers per second, but you know now it's 299 and 921 kilometers per second. And hey, maybe in 100 years, it'll be even slower than that, maybe 298,000. So I'm just saying, hey, go look at it, look at the research, and, you know, it's evidence.
I mean, so I looked into that here.
I have terrible service.
Yeah, you definitely do. Yeah,
I can't really hear. I got terrible service. I get back
to if you got a drop, that's fine. No problem. Yeah, you can't even hear him anymore. So we'll have to just do this without him, but... I looked into this, and let's pull it up here. So, Barry Setterfield, that's who he said, and Trevor Norman. I got the names mixed up, but yeah, I mean, this just says that these guys were young Earth creationists. Trevor Norman was a mathematician, and Barry Setterfield was like an amateur researcher. He wasn't a mainstream. I don't know what his educational background was. But they just came up with a hypothesis saying that the speed of light has declined over time. And it does link to something here. Now, I'd have to like sit here and read this like from scratch. I don't know what their specific claims are. Barry Setterfield collected data of measurements of C spanning about 300 years. He claimed that rather than fluctuating around both sides of the present value, the measurements became more accurate. They had progressively declined. So that's kind of what this guy was talking about, I guess. So I don't know. Maybe I'll do more research into it. And I don't know. I mean, I don't think there's going to be anything there, but we'll see. Get a free book, 2 free audiobooks, and ad-free videos by becoming a Patreon member.